Good evening, everyone. We continue to be blessed with these glorious days of July. Today we had a special event here at the parish. We hosted the summer seminarian banquet where families who have seminarians in formation for the archdiocese were here, and the archbishop was here. We're very grateful to all the volunteers in the parish who helped put that together, who offered their time and their talent to allow us to host these families who are discovering also the gift of the priesthood in this year that the Holy Father has titled the Year for Priests. We also have another gift with us today in the parish, and that is the presence of Deacon Andrew Markunas. Deacon Andrew, as many of you know, had to have surgery. He had a tumor on his brain that prevented him from being ordained with his classmates. If the surgery went well, and you can see that he's performing his diaconal duties very well. And Deacon Andrew will be ordained on August 29th in the crypt of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And on behalf of all of us here, Deacon Andrew, we want you to know that you're in our prayers, that we are confident that this good work that the Lord has begun in you will be brought to completion, and that there is a reason for the hope and the suffering that we are called to bear, and you've been assigned for us, and we want to thank you. The next 4 weeks and the Sundays, for Sunday Mass, we have some very particular readings. They will all come from John chapter 6. It's helpful for all of us to keep that in mind because in our prayer and our work and our study, we can keep the sacred scriptures close to us and keep going through that chapter and receiving all that the Lord wishes to give us as His family through the sacred scriptures, the word that He announces and is always new through those verses. And tonight we are at the first part of that chapter, and it is the place where the Lord Jesus wishes to give us a sign. He wishes to express the gestures that communicate the interior meaning of that sign, and He wants to teach us. The sign is the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. The context is important for us to recall because we are at the Passover. Jesus is on a mountain, and He has gathered His disciples to Himself. The other place in Scripture where those gestures and location are similar is in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. There is no Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of John, but we have this amazing discourse, the Bread of Life discourse, and the signs that accompany it. The Lord Jesus presents Himself to us tonight as the new Moses, the one who has come to give us the fruit of a new law. And the Passover is the feast in which the Jewish people celebrate their redemption, their ransom from Israel. It is also the time within the synagogue liturgies when they would read of the great miracles of their travels in the desert, among which was the manna, the bread from heaven. And so this is the chapter where the Lord begins to teach us that there is a new manna that God wishes to give us. And the manna is the Lord Jesus Himself. There are gestures that accompany this sign. The Lord takes the loaves, He blesses them, and He gives them. They're the sacred gestures that we experience every time we come to Mass. They're the sacred gestures through which the Lord communicates His true presence. In the Gospel of John, there is no institution of the Eucharist. In the Passion narrative, He doesn't go through giving the bread and giving the wine. But prior to the Passover, He speaks some words and He says, "Unless the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains but a grain of wheat. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will bear much fruit." You see, in the Gospel of John, the word that the Lord wishes to give us is that Jesus Christ in His entire identity is the Eucharist. Everything about Him is Eucharistic. He is the manna, the bread that comes down from heaven. He is the one who wishes to give us His life, and His life is fruitful. His life is given to us so that we can be one with God, fulfilling His priestly prayer. And when we receive Him, we become fruitful. What is it that the Lord Jesus gives us when He gives us Himself? My brothers and sisters, He gives us a particular power. And the power is love. And there are two dimensions to love. There are two ways that love always works. Love is first always unitive. It unites us with our beloved. It is a love that makes us one. At the same time, love is always open to others. Love is always creative and gives life. And so in those two dimensions, we see and can understand the power of the Eucharist. Eucharistic love, the gift of the Eucharist, makes us one. And through the gift of the grain of wheat that dies, who is our Lord Jesus, whom we receive, He also calls us to bear fruit that will last. Today, July 25th, is also the 41st anniversary of an encyclical called Humanae Vitae, on human life. Now, many of us don't know what Humanae Vitae was about and may have never heard of it. It was a somewhat controversial encyclical at the time that it came out because it prescribed that the use of artificial contraception within marriage was not licit. And it expressed that positively by stating that there are two meanings to conjugal love, to the conjugal act, that were never to be separated. It is to be unitive and creative, open to life. Now that teaching was not only difficult for lay people. As I brought this to prayer, I've also had to do an examination of conscience for myself as a priest. Because love in its essence is always unitive and creative. And at the center of love, the center of the power of love, is the Eucharist. And so where was the difficulty with Humanae Vitae? Where could it have originated? Well, my brothers and sisters, it may have originated, and I say this with all humility, and also asking for the Lord's help and being faithful in my vocation, it may have originated in the priesthood. Because you see, a priest is called to offer himself at Mass. A priest is called to make the words of institution the ground and the meaning of his life. But we can also separate ourselves from the fruitfulness of the sacraments that we celebrate. The sacraments can become rote for us. The rituals can become dry. And so they can become not as fruitful as they are called to be. Marriage is an icon, an image of the relationship of the love between Christ and the Church. And that love becomes in flesh at the altar every time we celebrate the Eucharist. It is the priest who is called to discover the unitive and procreative meanings of conjugal love in his own life. It is the priest who is called to give his life for the Church, which is a true conjugal love. It is the priest who in his fidelity to the words that he is called to express and making them his own, who is also called to bear much fruit in the children that are entrusted to him. So I don't receive Humanae Vitae as someone separate from you. I receive it as a teaching that we are all called to be elevated by and to be challenged by. St. Paul teaches us tonight in the letter to the Ephesians that we are meant to be worthy of the call that we have received in all humility and all compassion, but above all, through love. My brothers and sisters, love is demanding. Love can even be scandalous to those who don't understand love. But love is the power of history, and love is the power that gives meaning to our lives. And we are all called to be elevated by the Eucharistic love of our Lord Jesus. We are all called to give ourselves completely, because love doesn't hold anything back. And if there is a word that can summarize the meaning of love, and the way that love gives, and the reason that love is fruitful, the word is totality. Love is total. I'm called to give you me. I'm called to give you every ounce of blood that God has given me as your priest. I'm called to lay down my life for you. And I struggle to do that. I pray for the Lord's help in being faithful to the call. But just as spouses are called to give themselves completely to one another and to discover the joy of having total transparency, total fidelity, and total generosity to one another. At the center of the human drama is the love between man and woman. And we are called to discover the depth and the height and the breadth and the width of love. That love is always a love that occurs in a unity that is transparent and open to life. And therefore, it is a love that is always fruitful. If you haven't done so, I'd encourage you to take a look at Humanae Vitae. You can get it online. It's not a very long encyclical. And to take it to prayer. And if you have struggles with the encyclical, to give myself or another priest a call. To come and to talk to us about it. To pray through it, to ask the Lord for strength. For after all, we are a family. We're called to elevate one another. To assist one another in our vocations of living out the vocation of love. Love is not only a power, there is also a promise that comes with love. The Lord Jesus has told us that He is with us until the end. In our difficulties and in our struggles, we need to invoke that promise of love that is with us to the end, to ask Him for help and for strength, and for us to confess, just like those who receive the manna from heaven, just as we receive from the altar every time we come to Mass, that truly this is the prophet, the one sent from God who teaches us the truth and leads us into all truth. And in the end, it is the truth which sets us free.